Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Phyllis Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a series entitled Mercy Over Judgment. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Mrs. Moore.
Listen to what happened good for Peter. Peter, it says it over and over again this way. Peter, John, and James. Peter, James, and John. Go read your Bible. Got to see Jesus raise that little girl from the dead. He left everybody else out and called them in. And it wasn't long after Peter had just messed up. So what you know is, Peter didn't get offended. He didn't get his feelings hurt. He didn't get upset. He took the correction and went on with a smile on his face and said, I'm with Jesus. If I messed up, I messed up. Let's keep going. Next, when Jesus sent the apostles out in teams of two to go out and minister and heal the sick and cast out devils and all that stuff, Peter didn't go. John didn't go. You know where they went? To get the Passover supper ready. Everybody else went out to do other things. But Jesus must have trusted Peter and John. Peter and John, it says, went to get the Passover supper ready. Go, and you're going to see a man with a donkey, and you're going to see this, and you're going to do this, and you're going to... He trusted that they were going to do exactly what he told them to do. Even though they'd missed it before, and even though he'd corrected them before, you don't keep correcting somebody you don't love and you don't care about and you don't know has potential. Amen. Elsewise, you just quit wasting time on them. You're like, they ain't never going to make it no way. I ain't wasting my time on them. But Jesus didn't. Let's see. Okay, they ran to the tomb. John outran Peter. But guess who went in the tomb first? Peter. Peter did. Then, when he comes back, who does he talk to about ministering for him and asking him about feeding his sheep? Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my lambs. Three times. And he appeared to him first. Now, if he was mad at Peter, because Peter had messed up so many times, would he have done that? No. It does not matter how many. Go back through. Read Peter. If you want to understand who Jesus is, read Peter. He was there. Understand about the Lord. Understand about the way he thinks about things. He even says, this is true grace. Read Peter. Read 1st and 2nd Peter. He was in Jesus' face. Okay, I think about when I read it, I think about Brother Hagin. I think about, there's a lot of people out there that say they knew what Brother Hagin thought about stuff. And what Miss Aretha thought about stuff. And the way that they did things. You know what? I lived in their face, night and day, for years. For years. And some of the things people say, I just shake my head and say, Brother Hagin never even thought that, much less said it. When you know somebody, and you know their ways, and you know the way that they think, you don't have to wonder anymore, did they say that? So when you look up the things about Peter, you're going to get a real good glimpse of the way Jesus thought about things. Because he was in his face all the time. He was there with him. Then, I like this one. Then we'll go on back to the other real quickly. Do you remember when he fed the multitudes? He asked Philip about, do we have anything to feed them? And Philip said, no, Lord, there's a bunch of people here. Phyllis translation. But what did Peter say? Lord, there's a little boy here that's got a sack lunch. Can you do anything with that? He didn't want negatives. He wanted. And that's what he was wanting out of Peter when he asked him about walking on the water. It wasn't the negative that he wanted. He wanted the positive. And Peter had been around him long enough. Even though it looked like he couldn't do it, even though things looked bad, he wanted Peter's words working. He didn't want his eyes off of him. That's the way when you've got employees and stuff. Maybe they do make a mistake, but you don't want them thinking the wrong things. You don't want them going the wrong direction. It's different if they make a mistake, but you know when they know better. It's like, get your faith out there. You can do this. I remember one time, Rob will remember, he'll laugh. I think you were with us, Dan. We were coming in here when we were working on the building. And we were flying in the air. And we'd been going night and day, night and day, night and day, night and day, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And we started going through a thunderstorm. And the weather got real bad. Were you in the plane that night? And we started getting real rough. And I was asleep. And I wake up, and it's rough. And they're both just sitting there looking at me. And I'm like, why don't y'all talk to this thing? I wasn't mad at them. But I was thinking, by now, you guys know that you can talk to this as well as I know. I had to wake up to talk to that storm. We talked to it. We told it to settle down. The plane settled down. We went on. And they kicked themselves and said, man, we should have done that. It wasn't a bad thing. Do you understand that? That's the way the Lord is with all of us. He's not mad at us when he's telling us these things. He's not correcting us in a bad way. He's like, stir that self up. Get that self going. You can do this. The biggest thing you got to do is not get mad and not pull away and not turn from him. You understand that? He loves us. He's trying to bring us up to another level every time he does that. Okay, let's get back. Time is getting away. Keith's going to really, really enjoy coming back and picking on me. The Message Bible says this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it.
Thank you, Lord.
Always. I'm going to remind you of a few stories and prove it to you that God will never leave you in a situation that's too much for you to bear. Would you like to see that? All right, turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter 2, verse 5, NIV. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but what?
Protected
Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made an example of them of what's going to happen to the ungodly, and if he, say that next word with me,
rescued
Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul for the lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Verse 9, Are you ready to shout?
Yes.
Five people are. Are you ready to shout?
Yes.
Okay. Listen carefully to this next verse. Mark it, circle it, put stars around it, put it on your mirror. Verse 9. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials. Do you understand that? If he can jerk Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah and leave everybody else there to die, if he can pull Noah out and everybody else in the whole wide world dies, he can pull your little self out of a situation that you're in. Do you understand that? I didn't make that up. That's in the Bible. 2 Peter 2. Peter's talking again. Can you believe what Peter says? Do you think he knows the Lord?
Yes.
Amplified. Verse 9. Now if all these things are true, then be sure. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of temptations and trials, and how to keep the ungodly under chastisement until the day of judgment and doom. How does he rescue you out of those tests and trials? We talked about it earlier. Don't go by the get and go. Don't go to the beach. Don't turn that TV program on. He's going to rescue you out of those tests and trials. Do you understand that? Don't stop there. Don't do this. Don't go to your parents' house. Don't go to your in-law's house. He's rescuing you.
Amen.
You understand that?
Yes.
He's telling you, don't do this. He told Lot, get out of there. He told Noah, build an ark.
Yeah.
What if they wouldn't have done those two things? No matter how bad he wanted to rescue them, what would have happened to them? Drowned, burn. No matter how bad he wanted to rescue them, if they wouldn't have done what he told them to do, he couldn't have helped them. He's the same today. Okay, let's keep going. I get confused, though, about people that instead of taking responsibility on their self because they don't get through something or a test or a trial or something like that, they blame God and get mad at him and run away from God. We got to stop that. And we got to learn to realize we have to stand through the tests and trials. We have to come through them and out on the other side.
And that concludes today's message by Phyllis Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series Mercy Over Judgment, you may call More Life Ministries at 417-334-9233. That's 417-334-9233. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelifenow.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Remember to join us in Branson, Missouri on Monday, October 3rd, as we begin our week of increase. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.